This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life these days. Sometimes it feels like an asylum with all the crazy. And today I'm going to be talking about fear and people who come to us for help. We see a lot of people struggling with fear. And often some of that can have roots in something that happened in years past, maybe from childhood even, or for traumatic issues or things they struggle with, or even just current events are messing them up and they don't know how to handle it. Fear can come at us from a lot of different angles, and the enemy attacks with fear. He uses fear to get a grip on people. And so back in 2007, I started having panic attacks and having problems with anxiety. And I started going to doctors, and I didn't know what to think or what to do. And they started doing what doctors do, giving me at first antidepressants, anti-anxiety medications, tranquilizers like benzodiazepines, and those things are a nightmare. And none of that was working. In fact, it was making it worse. And if you've ever read the labels in some of those bottles, they say, you know, the risks involved with that. And so I was getting worse, and then they start giving me heavier duty cocktails, graduating me into the antipsychotic drug stuff. And then it was horrible. And the panic attacks and the fear were getting worse. And then on top of all this chemical stuff, there was spiritual warfare left and right, because once we start giving fear a little bit of ground, it takes more, and it gets more of a grip. And I was getting into a really miserable place. I would struggle with fear quite a bit, running to people for help, running to churches for help. I wasn't getting answers. I was running to counselors for help. And then this went on for a good couple years, where I was struggling with fear a lot. And then I remember one brother of mine who I went to for help, he said, you know what? And I told him everything I was going through. And he said, you know what? Man isn't really doing you much good. Maybe this is all about God, you and God, and come to the point, you know, basically coming to the place of just surrendering and looking at God alone. And my faith was getting pretty shaky, because, you know, when you prayed for something, for help, for deliverance from something, and you're not getting it, and it's going on for years, and you start asking, what the heck, like, God, have you rejected me, or are you even there? Do you even care anymore? And God is silent. And then I remember the turning point came, I think it was November of 2009. I'd been at this for around 2 years. And this was when the Great Recession was full force, still hitting, and a lot of businesses were closing or laying off employees. And I was alone in my office, in the office suite. There was another business in with me, but there was nobody else there that morning. And I had been hearing horrible, crazy, dark thoughts, which I knew were from the enemy, the type that would just provoke even more fear. And maybe I should go back about maybe a year before that. I would hear cursing of God, and that freaked me out. And I didn't understand, you know, where the heck is this coming from? And so that morning in 2009, there were these horrible dark thoughts, which now I pretty much believe were demonic. And then I get into the office and I'm alone. And then this horrible, evil, dark presence fills the office. It was thick, so thick you could feel it. And I didn't know what to do because there have been so many times I feel like I've been swinging and missing and just getting worse. And I just felt like in that moment God was saying, do not go run to a church. Do not turn to man for help. Still didn't know what to do. So all I knew to do was to grab my Bible, and I grabbed it, and I just started praying Psalms out loud. And I even said, God, I mean, this is how thick and intense that evil presence was. I just said, God, if you want to take my life, take it, because this is like off the charts. He didn't take it. And so I just started praying Psalms out loud. I didn't know what else to do. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, the evil presence vanished. And I finally had some relief. And that was the turning point when I started to stand up against fear instead of running from it. And then as time went on, I got off all those miserable drugs for the most part. And God has taught me a lot about spiritual warfare and my authority in Christ. And then what fear is about and how to overcome it. And then fast forward today, we see a lot of people struggling with, some having panic attacks and struggling with anxiety. And let's just take the context of a wife who's husband is struggling with porn, or he's been addicted to porn or sexual sin for years or decades, and then the revelation comes out of his problem, and now their marriage is blown apart. And the enemy will often attack a wife with fear of, what is my husband doing right now? Let's just say he's, whatever, 20 minutes late from work, and the enemy can go to her and say, do you know where he is? Do you know what he's doing? Is it possible that he's acting out in his car or at a strip club or whatever? And if she does not understand that she's being assaulted and she bites on that stuff, boom, down she can go. So we help women understand the spiritual battle. And so part of this battle to win against fear comes down to surrender. Sometimes we strive so hard, we try to control, we try to get life to work the way we want it to, we want our spouse to do certain things, we have no control over it, and it's freaking us out. And God comes to us and says, I want you to surrender. Surrender your spouse to me, surrender your life to me, surrender your future to me. Trust me. Surrender is for all of life. It is not just for the context of a man and wife trying to heal from porn or sex addiction and, the fear of the future. We have no control of the future, and right now things are pretty bad. So we have two choices. We can kind of wig out, or actually more than that, we can numb out from it. Or we can go to God and say, I don't know what the future is going to bring, but Lord, I surrender it to you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to release it to you. Same thing with the news. When crazy is all over and violence and all the other nuts all over the news, God, I'm not going to hold on to this. I'm going to release it. I'm not going to let myself get all wound up about it. Fear and control and anger are all cousins, and they come together in a package often. And some people lurch into becoming a control freak to attempt to deal with their fear. So I don't want this person to hurt me, so I'm going to do everything I can to control them. whether it's being emotionally distant or manipulating them for sex or playing head games with them or telling them what to do or raging at them. I'm going to be in control. And what the core of it usually is I don't want to get hurt again. Usually that's often the underlying cause of a lot of fears. I don't want anybody hurting me, so I'm going to prevent that. And often people who have been abused, that they struggle with that, and that's very primary. And, you know, I was molested growing up and went through physical abuse, and I struggle with fear quite a bit, trying to recover from that. And I think that maybe back in 2007, what was going on in part was some of that fear from being traumatized was leaking out. And God let it leak out, saying, it's time to deal with this. And it was misery. But we either do one of two things. We either collapse or we learn that God is saying to us, I want you to stand up and fight. And you must not give ground to fear of anything. The only fear justified in Scripture is the fear of the Lord. One thing that strikes me a lot as I read through the Bible is trust in the Lord is all over the book. Trusting God is a big deal. It's maybe you could say it's the foundation of our walk with Him, because if we don't believe that He's with us, if we don't believe that Jesus died for us, if we don't trust Him to take care of us, we can get shaken up and rocked pretty quickly. And trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. This is a big-time promise, and it's really easy to read it and kind of shake your head and say, uh-huh, until you get charged with some kind of strife or stress or circumstance in life that freaks you out, or maybe there's something profound you're getting attacked with your health, or, you know, maybe you just found out you got cancer or whatever it is. Trust in the Lord all your heart. This is not a head game here. Your heart, your core, what is really in your soul, the depths of your emotions. God, no matter what, I choose to trust you in all your ways. Acknowledge Him. Bring it to the light. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your emotions, your feelings. And this is where we get stuck sometime when we're trying to figure out, we try to control our feelings, and that's not going to get us too far. Fear is something the enemy is using to attack a lot of people in the church today, and we see it quite often. And God commands us, Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be in fear or dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. I think that last part is the big one of that promise. And I remind myself more and more from Psalm 139. Where can I go from your presence? I'm soaked in His presence. We are soaked in His presence. We are walking in His presence. We live in His presence. But when I was going to that time of fear and panic, I wasn't aware of anything. I was trying to feel it, trying to hear God, and I wasn't seeing it or hearing it. I wasn't trusting Him, and my faith was shriveling up, and fear was blowing up. It was a horrible place to be. That is not the way a Christ follower is supposed to live, because we are given His Holy Spirit of power, love, and sound mind. So when I'm working with people, depending on the situation, sometimes the answer is to surrender, to release, to let God have the control. And for some of you, the idea of releasing control freaks you out. It's like, God, I'm not going to get hurt again. We're doing this my way and my time, and I'm going to protect myself. And how's that working for you? Protecting ourselves does not work. It fails. You can't protect yourself against spiritual warfare. You have to be willing to stand up in your authority in Christ and shut the enemy down. the flesh is not a shield. Running does not work, as I know from the experience I told you about. That makes it worse. We have to stand up on what God has given us, that he is there, he is more powerful, he has given us his authority. And then with control, will you release the control of your life to him no matter what? That's back to the trust part, the no matter what part. Yeah, tomorrow something bad may happen. You may get an auto accident, your life is done. You have no control over that. So the only thing you are left with, if you want to keep your sanity, is trust. God, I will trust you no matter what. We may be looking at entering into the tribulation soon. That doesn't sound fun. That sounds pretty dark. And we're already in dark times. No matter what, God, I will choose to trust you. You are more powerful. Make my life a blessing to you. Make my life a blessing to other people. Prayer is so very critical. You must have a strong prayer life. I'm going to read one of my go-tos for Scripture, Isaiah 41, 8 to 13. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. That's a big one. He is with us. We are not alone. He will walk us through every battle. Fear not, and fear nots are all over the Bible. I am with you. Can you get a hold of that, that God is with you? That the most incredibly powerful being in the universe who created man. Think about who designs a brain. No, ain't no man designing a brain. Think about the sun. I think it's 900,000 miles in circumference. He made a sun. You can't even look at it. It'll blind you. How can you understand a being with that much power? And we try and stuff him in a little theology box. God is beyond anything or anyone we can understand, and his power is infinite to crush and destroy and to restore and to heal and to lead us in the darkest times. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. That's a guarantee. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And when I was spinning around like crazy in fear 18 years ago, see, the problem is I wasn't just stopping and saying, okay, God, I'm going to listen to you. I was running to man for answers. I was running to counselors and pastors for answers, and it just nothing was working. It was all getting worse. And sometimes that's the way it is with life, that the more we try, we just make a bigger mess out of it. And God's saying, stop. Listen to me. I am with you. You are not on your own. Continuing on, behold, all who are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. There it is again in this passage, fear not. I am the one who helps you. Part of our problem as Americans is we don't like to wait. We get Amazon deliveries now in a day. I mean, within the same day. Or, you know, we look for a pill to take if we don't feel good. We want instant gratification, and we want instant answers, and the Lord doesn't work that way. Every once in a while, he does answer quickly, but there are times when his answer comes later. And that's that sticking point. That's that in-between time. Instead of panicking and freaking out, we just say, okay, God, I'm going to stop. And I'm going to rest with you, and I want to know what you have to say to me, even if today you are silent. Because oftentimes when we ask God a question and there's no answer in the moment, that answer is wait. And a lot of us, who wants to hear wait? But wait on the Lord is also all over Scripture. And remember Saul, how he blew it big time when Samuel the prophet was supposed to come and offer a sacrifice, and 7 days after a certain time, and Saul didn't want to wait. And the crazy thing was that at that seventh day, if Saul would have just waited, I think it was just an hour or two more. It wasn't a lot much longer. Samuel showed up, and things would have been okay. But Saul blew it, took matters in his own hands, made it worse, because then Samuel said, "You're going to lose the kingdom." There can be catastrophic consequences in some situations when we do not wait for God and give him the space to work. And this goes back to trust. Release. You're big enough to take me through this. You are my rock. You are my refuge, my fortress, my deliverer. No matter what's coming at me, you will provide what I need. Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Remember who God is. And when you're attacked with fear, Psalms even gives us encouragement when it says, "When I am afraid," meaning when we get attacked with the fear dot, "I will put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" So, my friends, where are you today with fear? Are you struggling with it? Is it getting ground in your life? Are you being attacked mercilessly with it? And if you are, and I get attacked with it, or discouragement, or anxiety, or crazy thoughts, or whatever, we stand up and we say, "In the name of Jesus, I renounce fear. I reject fear. I renounce anxiety. I reject anxiety." I think it was a couple weeks ago, I got hit with this cloud of doubt. It was ugly. It was dark. And it was one of those clouds that said, "God doesn't exist. Where is he? Does he hear my prayer? Is he even there at all?" See, when we get hit with warfare, sometimes it's a little confusing at the moment trying to get our bearings, and it can feel really intense. Same thing when you get attacked with fear. It can feel very intense at the moment, even to the point of like the kind of suck your breath away kind of attacks. Stand up, stand strong, don't give in to it. Remember his promise. "Fear not. I am with you. He is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is walking with you in every single trial." There is nowhere you can go apart from his presence. You're surrounded in his presence. You're living in his presence. You're soaked in his presence. Remember that. You're not alone. You're not on your own. And beyond this, you are given all the tools you need to overcome fear. So you can stand up and say, "No, I will not fear. I reject fear. God, you are with me. I refuse to bow down to fear. I refuse to buckle under. God, I choose to trust you. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit now." I love it from Isaiah. He says, "I will strengthen you. I will help you." Strength is a part of the battle here, because when you're getting walked on, you can feel weak at the moment. So you ask for God for strength. "God, strengthen me now for this battle. Shut down and destroy the work of the enemy. Give me your everlasting, your overcoming strength, O God, your power. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Every one of you who are believers in Christ, you have the power to overcome every battle. But there's some things involved. You have to be willing to persevere until you get the win. And you have to have a strong prayer life, and knowing God's word is critical. So one last thing. We are a 501c3. We could use your financial support, especially this time of the year. So go to the donate page on the website if you'd like to support us. And thank you for listening, my friends, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.